our own comics like we used to. Well, the last time me and Greg made some comics together, it didn't turn out so good for me. And if you don't know the whole story, then I'll give you the short version. In our first year of middle school, me and Greg worked on a comic together called Zooey Mama. But then Greg got bored of it and said I should do it by myself. And then my comic got in the school paper, and Greg was mad at me even though he's the one who told me I should do it. And then we got in a big fight in front of the whole school, and some teenagers came out of nowhere and they caught me and Greg. Then they made me eat a piece of cheese that was on the blacktop. I still can't eat pizza or mozzarella sticks or anything else with cheese in it, but Greg says I need to get over it, because that happened a long time ago. So anyway, when I opened that sketchbook Mrs. Heffley gave us, there were a bunch of Zooey Mamas in there that we never turned in to the school paper. Greg said I should put them in here because they were going to be worth a lot of money when he gets famous. One Zooey Mama comic shows a caveman giving a present to a cave woman.
Merry Christmas, Skugla.
It's 20,000 BC and Christmas hasn't even been invented yet.
Zooey Mama!
Another shows an artist finishing a painting. I finally finished my masterpiece. It's time to show it to the world.
You dummy, it won't fit through the door.
Zooey Mama!
This one shows a construction worker who just tore down this guy's house.
Okay, sir, I tore down your house. That'll be $10,000.
What? I left a note on the door that said, do not tear down my house.
Whoops. I guess your note got wet. See? It says, do tear down my house.
Zooey Mama!
Oh, and this one where three guys are camping and one of them is sleepwalking?
Uh-oh. Joe is sleepwalking again. We should wake him up.
I heard it's a bad idea to wake up someone who's sleepwalking.
But we are camping on a cliff.
Zooey Mama!
And the one where a newscaster is talking about a robber?
The bank robber made off with $30,000. Police have released a sketch of the suspect based on witness descriptions.
But the police sketch is a picture of the newscaster.
Zooey Mama!
And the one with the inventor and two kids? I've invented a new ray gun. Well, what does it do?
It makes everything go backward.
Yeah, right. Zap.
Amam-e-ooze.
And this one has a bear and a kid.
Roar! I'm gonna eat you!
A talking bear? I must be in a dream.
Yeah, well, guess what? A bear is about to eat you in real life.
And the kid in the dream looks out of the sleeping kid's dream bubble, and there is a bear coming through the window in real life.
Zooey Mama!
And finally, the one with the explorer and her baby son.
I found it. The legendary Dryocasilus australis, the rarest insect on Earth.
And my son is here to see me capture it. But then her son eats it.
Munch, munch.
Zooey Mama!
I told Greg maybe we should write some more Zooey Mamas, but he said that joke is stale, and we need to come up with something new. And then Greg had an awesome idea. He said we should create our own superhero. Well, I liked that idea a lot because it sounded fun. But Greg said that he didn't care about having fun. He just cared about the money. Greg said that if you come up with a superhero, then you can sell the movie rights and sit back and wait for the money to roll in. Then we started talking about what we'd do with all the money we were going to make from our superhero idea. I said I'd go to the toy aisle at the store, and I'd fill up a shopping cart with as many toys as I could fit. But Greg said I wasn't thinking big enough. He said he'd buy the whole store and wear a different pair of sneakers every day, and he'd live in the snacks aisle. Then I said I'd buy a fancy sports car, and I'd give Ms. Beck a ride to school every morning. Greg said we were going to be so rich we could buy the whole school and fire all the teachers and have epic paintball fights in the hallways. I said maybe we shouldn't fire all of the teachers because Ms. Beck is really nice and she's good at teaching math. Greg said we'd be so rich we wouldn't need to learn math anymore, but we could keep Ms. Beck around because we'd need someone to count our money for us. And I guess that made me feel a little better. Greg said we had plenty of time to figure out what we were going to do with all our money later on, but right now it was time to get serious about this superhero idea. Greg said the first thing we needed to do was figure out what kind of powers our superhero should have. I said maybe he could fly or have super strength, but Greg said both of those ideas were dumb because they've been done a million times before. Then I said maybe our superhero could have X-ray vision, but Greg said that wasn't a good superpower because once he accidentally saw his grandpa naked, and he wishes he hadn't. Greg said we needed to do something original, so we started coming up with ideas that no one ever thought of before. And the ideas we came up with were okay, but not great. The Knotster. He ties bad guys into knots. Pollen Lady. She makes the bad guys sneeze. Diaper Whip. He whips the bad guys with diapers.
Squish.
Cruncher.
He eats peanuts really loudly.
Crunch.
The Squisher. He squishes bad guys under his giant sneakers. The one we liked the best was this guy called the Chuckster, who could throw his own head like a football.
Ha ha ha, I got away.
Toss.
Oh, did you?
But Greg said the Chuckster wouldn't work as an action figure, because the head would be a choking hazard for little kids. Then we tried to come up with some characters that would be okay if a kid accidentally swallowed them, but most of our ideas weren't that good.
Cheese Stick Boy. Chicken Finger Lady.
Greg said moms are usually the ones who buy their kids toys, so we should come up with something they'd like. But we weren't happy with that idea either.
Healthy Snacks Man. He throws broccoli into kids' mouths?
Greg said maybe the reason we weren't coming up with anything good was that we weren't a very good team. He said we should try working on our own and see who could come up with the better idea. We both did our own thing, and then we showed each other our work. Greg's superhero was a guy from space who had a different kind of power in every fingertip, which was actually a pretty awesome idea.
Intergalactic Man.
One finger had electroshock, another had ice freeze, another has fire blast, and another shot out a duck. I told Greg his idea was cool, and we should go with that. Then Greg said, well, what's your idea? But I didn't want to tell him because I knew he'd laugh. And then he promised he wouldn't laugh, so I showed him my character. Amazing Guy. Greg asked what Amazing Guy's superpower was, and I said it was kindness. And that made Greg break his promise about not laughing. Greg said a superhero should be edgy, and it would be cool if Amazing Guy had knives coming out of his knuckles and wore a black leather jacket and said swears when he fights the bad guys. But I said I wanted Amazing Guy to be a role model for children, and that made Greg break his promise a second time. I told Greg if he didn't like my character, that was fine, but I wasn't giving him any money if I sold the movie rights. And all of a sudden, Greg got real interested in Amazing Guy, and said if I get rich, I owe him half the money because I used his markers and paper. I said that wasn't true, and Greg said he'd call his lawyer to find out. Then Greg dialed a number on the phone, and I listened in on his half of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're my markers. 50%? Okay, that's what I thought.
Then Greg hung up the phone. I told him to call his lawyer back because I wanted to ask him a few questions. But Greg said I couldn't afford his lawyer, and I had to get my own. Greg said since we were going to split things 50-50, then we were equal partners and we needed to work together. I said fine, but I still don't want Amazing Guy to say swears, and Greg said, okay, we'll talk about that later. Greg said the first thing we needed to do was give Amazing Guy an origin story, to show how he got his powers. Then he told me how other superheroes got their powers. One guy got zapped by lightning, one got bit by a radioactive bug, and one lady got shot by gamma rays. I said Amazing Guy just had good parents who raised him to be a nice person, and that's why he decided when he grew up he'd fight for people who needed his help. But Greg said that's a terrible origin story. He said something exciting needed to happen, like Amazing Guy gets hit by a meteor or gets bitten by a radioactive bug or something like that. And I said, okay, fine. Then Amazing Guy gets hit by a double rainbow, and that's how he gets his powers. Greg said that didn't make sense, but he didn't feel like getting into a dumb argument about rainbows, so we'd come back to the origin story later on, too. Greg said every good superhero has a secret identity, so we needed to come up with one for Amazing Guy. I said he could be a nurse at an urgent care clinic, and when he gets off work at 6 p.m., he becomes Amazing Guy, and then helps people until his bedtime. And no one knows his secret identity, not even Nurse Beck, who works with him at the urgent care place. Greg said I got that name from Ms. Beck, our math teacher, but I said nope, it's just a coincidence. Greg said we were wasting too much time talking about stupid stuff, and we needed to design Amazing Guy's suit. I said I liked the suit I came up with just fine, but Greg said it was stupid because everyone could tell who he was if they saw him walking around in regular life. Greg said Amazing Guy needed a mask, so he drew one that looked pretty awesome. And he added a cape, too. Then Greg said if Amazing Guy doesn't have any real powers, then maybe his suit could have powers. But I said Amazing Guy has the power of kindness, and his gloves are padded so he doesn't hurt the bad guys too much. I said I wanted to do all the drawings, and Greg said that's fine, but he'd do the writing. So we gave it a try, but it didn't really work. I told Greg he totally messed up my comic, and that from now on I'd do the drawing and the writing. Then Greg said he was going to call his lawyer again, and I said go right ahead. And even when he said he was going to call Santa, I wouldn't budge. Greg said he didn't want to write for my stupid comic anyway, because my superhero was terrible, and he said he was just going to write Intergalactic Man comics, and I said fine, because my character was better. Then Greg said if Intergalactic Man got in a fight with Amazing Guy, he'd wipe him out in like 5 seconds. And I said, oh yeah, let's see about that. So then we drew this battle, and he drew his superhero, and I drew mine. We meet for the very first time, Amazing Guy.
Hi!
There are so many ways I could destroy you. Which power shall I choose? Ice freeze!
Rainbow block!
Okay, fine. Laser finger!
Rainbow block again!
Hey, you can't use the same power twice in a row.
That's all I really need to fight you.
Okay, then. Prepare for me to unleash my full powers. Fire blast, electroshock, stunolizer. Ung! Mwahaha, prepare to meet your doom.
Summoning the power of kindness.
Kazow!
An Amazing Guy's giant heart totally vaporized Intergalactic Man.
No!
I guess I got a little carried away with that last drawing because after I drew it, Greg said it was probably time for me to go home. Maybe next time I won't have Amazing Guy use his full powers on his enemies. Because I wouldn't want his parents or Nurse Beck to be disappointed in him. The time me and Greg had a two-night sleepover. Okay, you already know this from the title of the chapter, but this one time me and Greg had a two-night sleepover. And I bet you think we had a total blast, and you want to read about all the wacky stuff we did. But guess what? It was not that fun at all. The reason the sleepover happened was because my Nana got sick, and me and my parents were going to go visit her. But then Mrs. Heffley said, "Why don't you two go, and we'll watch Rowley for the weekend?" When my mom said okay to that idea, me and Greg were hyped, because we never had a two-night sleepover before. But I guess we should have waited until later to celebrate because of the whole Nana thing. On Friday, my mom packed my bag for the weekend, and she put in an extra pair of underwear, just in case. Plus, she packed a picture of her and my dad so I could look at it if I missed them too much while they were gone. Like I said before, The sleepover wasn't a lot of fun, but it started off pretty good. We played video games in Greg's basement and ate snacks. Then we prank-called Scotty Douglas, and he blew the whistle he keeps right by his phone for when we do that. "Excuse me, sir. Your refrigerator is running, so maybe you should go catch it."
Tweet!
But then Mrs. Douglas called Mrs. Heffley to tell on us for prank-calling Scotty. Then Mrs. Heffley told us we were bullying, and that made me feel ashamed. At 9 o'clock, Mrs. Heffley said it was time for bed, and she went back upstairs. I was pretty tired, but Greg said he had an idea. There is this kid on our street named Joseph O'Rourke, who has a trampoline, but he never lets anyone use it. Greg said we should sneak out and jump on the trampoline while Joe was asleep. Well, I wasn't so crazy about this sneaking out idea, but Greg said if I was going to be a baby, I should go up to Manny's room and sleep in there. I said I wasn't a baby, and he said, yuh-huh, and I said, nuh-uh, and he said, yuh-huh times infinity, but I was ready for that, and I said, nuh-uh times infinity squared. And I thought I had Greg beat with that one. But he got me anyway when he said, yuh-huh times infinity squared plus one. Dang. So we snuck out the back door, and I followed Greg up to Joe's. It was really cold outside, and all I had on were my jammies. But I didn't want to complain, because then Greg might call me a baby again. Sure enough, all the lights at the O'Rourke's house were off, so this was our big chance to use Joe's trampoline. Greg said we couldn't make any noise, and then he climbed up and did a bunch of jumps, but he was real quiet. Then it was my turn. This was my first time on a trampoline, and it was really fun, and I guess that's why I forgot we were being sneaky.
Whee!
The lights came on inside the O'Rourke's house, and their dog started barking, and Greg took off without me. I wanted to run, too. But it's not so easy to stop bouncing when you're on a trampoline. Once I finally stopped, I ran to the Heffley's house and went around back to the basement door. But I guess Greg wanted to teach me a lesson for making too much noise at the O'Rourke's, because he wouldn't let me in. I tried to show Greg that I was freezing, but I don't think he really got what I was trying to tell him, because he still wouldn't let me in. I thought he was going to make me stay out there all night, so I ran around the house to see if the front door was unlocked. But it wasn't, and I kind of freaked out a little, and rang the doorbell over and over and over. The good news is that someone came to the door pretty quick, but the bad news is that it was Mr. Heffley. Mr. Heffley told us to get our stuff from the basement because we were going to have to stay in Greg's room so he could keep an eye on us. Then Mrs. Heffley came into Greg's room and said she was disappointed in us for sneaking out, and that made me feel ashamed all over again. But I think Greg gets in trouble a lot, because he didn't seem that ashamed. As soon as Mrs. Heffley went to bed, Greg said I was dumb for making all that noise at the O'Rourke's, and extra dumb for ringing the doorbell. I said I was sorry for saying we on the trampoline, but the doorbell thing was all his fault. Then Greg whapped me with his pillow, and I whapped him back, but I guess we made too much noise, and that's why I had to see Mr. Heffley in his underwear for the second time in one night. Mr. Heffley told Greg he had to sleep in Manny's room, and all I could think was, who's the baby now? The next day, Mrs. Heffley woke me up and said breakfast was ready downstairs. Greg was in the bathroom brushing his teeth, and he said he hoped I brought my own toothpaste, because if I wanted to use his, I was going to have to pay for it since it was his house. I told him I did have my own toothpaste, and then he said I was going to have to pay for the water I used to brush my teeth. I said I wasn't going to pay for the water because I was the guest, and guests are supposed to get treated special. So he said if I wasn't going to pay what I owed, I couldn't eat breakfast or any other meals either. I was like, yeah, right, and then he said I was using his electricity, and he shut the light off on me. When I got downstairs, I told Mrs. Heffley about all the stuff Greg said upstairs, and she said I was right about guests being special. Then she let me pick which pancakes I wanted before Greg got to pick. After breakfast, Mrs. Heffley said we had too much screen time the day before, and that we had to figure out something to do until lunch. Greg was in a grumpy mood, so I decided to cheer him up with a knock-knock joke. but he wouldn't do the who's there part, no matter how many times I tried. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Hey, Greg. Knock, knock. I told Greg I was going to go upstairs and tell his mom he wasn't saying who's there, and that finally made him do it. Who's there? I said, what do elephants do at night? But Greg said you're not supposed to ask a question in that part of a knock-knock joke, and I said, yes, you are. Then he told me I was dumb, and I said I was going to tell on him for that. And Greg said, go right ahead. And so I did. So Mrs. Heffley came down and told Greg he wasn't allowed to call me dumb or stupid or any other bad names either. But then when she left, Greg said he had a new nickname for me. At first I thought it sounded cool, but then I figured out what he meant. Hey, Stoop. I told Greg I was going to tell on him again, but then Greg said that it was opposite day, and everything meant the opposite of what it was supposed to. So then Greg said, you are smart. Well, I knew what he meant, so I went and told Mrs. Heffley. But at first she didn't get mad, because she didn't know it was opposite day. I explained it to Mrs. Heffley, and she made Greg apologize. But I think he might have been being opposite. I'm sorry. Mrs. Heffley told us that sometimes friends get on each other's nerves, but we needed to figure things out since we had a whole day to go on our sleepover. She said maybe we should spend some time apart, and I thought that sounded like a great idea. So I hung out with Manny in his room for a while. Even though I was having fun with Manny, I missed my mom and dad, and I looked at their picture whenever I got the chance. The next time I saw Greg was when we had lunch. Mrs. Heffley made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and she even remembered to cut the crusts off mine. After we finished our sandwiches, she gave us chocolate chip cookies for dessert. She gave Greg one, but she gave me two, because she said I was the guest and guests are special. I ate one of my cookies, but I made a shield around the other cookie with my arm so Greg couldn't get it. Sometimes if I have something Greg wants, he will lick it so I won't want it anymore. That's what he did last Halloween when I got more candy than he did. But Greg said he was full and didn't even want my cookie. He said that while I was playing with Manny, he was reading a book about magic, and he wanted to show me a trick. I really like magic, so I said okay. First, Greg told me to put my fingers on the edge of the table so they were close together. Then Greg took my glass of milk and put it on top of my fingers. I asked him when the magic part was going to happen, and he said it was already happening because I couldn't move. Well, he was right, because if I did, the glass of milk would tip over and spill. And Mr. Heffley gets mad when I spill stuff in his house. But then Greg said, here's the real magic part, and he took my cookie and ate it up. After that, Greg went upstairs, but I was still stuck at the kitchen table. And I was still there a half hour later when Mrs. Heffley came back to the kitchen. I told her what Greg did, and boy was she mad, but it wasn't because of the magic trick. She was mad that Greg took something that belonged to me without asking. We went up to Greg's room, and then Mrs. Heffley told me I could pick out one of Greg's things to take home with me so we'd be even. Well, Greg had a bunch of cool toys that he never let me play with, so it was really hard to pick. But every time I got close to one of his favorites, he kind of let me know I shouldn't pick that one by going, "Mmph." I picked an action figure that was a knight with a missing arm, and Greg seemed okay with that. But as soon as Mrs. Heffley left the room, Greg said I could play with my lame action figure because he was going to play with all his cool stuff by himself. It kind of bugged me, and I wanted to bug Greg back. So I pretended I was having a total blast with my toy. Tra-la-la-la-la, I'm having so much fun! Tra-la-la-la-la! Well, it worked, and Greg said I had to hand over his toy. I said no way. And he said he was just going to wait for me to fall asleep and then he'd take it back himself. I told him I was going to put the action figure down my underwear so he couldn't get it, and he didn't like that idea. Then Greg said he'd trade me for the action figure, and I asked him what he'd give me for it. Greg said he'd give me 99 cents for the night, and I said okay to that. But then Greg took a dirty sock out of his hamper and tried to get me to smell it. And I was like, what was that for? And Greg said that was my first scent. I said I wanted 99 cents, C-E-N-T-S, not 99 cents, S-C-E-N-T-S. But Greg said a deal's a deal, and then he tried to get me to smell another sock as my second scent. Oomph. When I told Greg I was going to go tell on him again, he said he'd trade me his Lego dragon for my knight, and I said yes, because that dragon is way better than a knight with no arm. But then when I gave Greg my knight, he wouldn't give me the dragon because he said I should have remembered it was still opposite day. Well, that was the last straw for me, and I tried to grab the dragon from Greg, but it kind of slipped out of my hands and hit the floor and broke apart. I guess we were making a lot of noise, because the next thing we knew, Greg's mom was back in the room. She said she was going to have to separate us for the rest of the night, which was fine with me. Mrs. Heffley said that we each had one half of the bedroom, and that we had to stay on our own side. So she asked me which side I wanted, and I picked the side with the bed, which made Greg mad. When Mrs. Heffley went back to her room, Greg said he was turning on an invisible force field between our two sides. Then he said if someone crossed over, they'd get zapped. Greg said he was fine with me having the bed, because he could sleep on an air mattress, and plus, all the fun stuff was on his side of the room. And when I reached over to Greg's side for my action figure, sure enough, I got zapped. I knew I got zapped because Greg yelled, "Zap!" I opened the drawer in the table next to Greg's bed to see if he had any comics I could read. Well, there weren't any comics, but one of Greg's old handheld video games was in there. So I played it, and Greg couldn't do anything because of the force field. Whee! Yeah! But Greg said I could play video games by myself like a nerd because he was having a wild party on his side of the room and I wasn't invited. And I got kind of jealous because his party looked pretty fun. La la la, yay yay yay. I said, well, I'm having a party on my side, and it was even more wild than his party, and I had really good music. Greg said I couldn't even come up with an original idea, but I still think he was jealous of my party. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo, woo, woo. Then Greg said the plug to my party speakers was on his side of the room, so he pulled it out to shut off my music. Greg got back to his party, and I tried to tell him to plug my speakers back in, but Greg couldn't hear me because the music at his party was too loud. What? What? But this time, Mr. Heffley came into the room, and Greg didn't notice him standing in the doorway. Greg was still yelling, "I can't hear you!" at me. Mr. Heffley said he didn't want one more peep out of us, and then he left the room. We were both quiet for a long time, but then Greg tried to get me to laugh, and I almost did. I was kind of glad we had to be quiet, because I was getting pretty sleepy anyway, and I wanted to go to bed. I told Greg I needed to brush my teeth, and he said too bad, because the force field was still on, and I was trapped in my half of the room for the whole night. So I asked if he could just turn off the force field for a little while so I could brush my teeth. But he said once the force field is turned on, it stays on until the morning. And then Greg went to the bathroom to brush his teeth and came back to the room after he was done, smiling wide and saying, "Minty." That's when I remembered I need to use the bathroom before I go to bed every night so I don't have any accidents. But Greg said I was just going to have to hold it until the morning. I said I couldn't make it all the way to morning, and Greg said that wasn't his problem. I said if Greg didn't shut off the force field, I was going to have to pee in the Chewbacca mug on the table next to Greg's bed. Then he told me he had a special invisible knife that could cut through the force field. Greg showed me how the knife worked by cutting a square in the force field right next to the table where the mug was. Then he reached through the hole and grabbed the mug. I asked Greg to cut a Rowley-sized hole in the force field so I could get through it to use the bathroom. But Greg said the knife ran on invisible batteries, and they got used up when he made his hole, so I was out of luck. Then Greg started talking about all sorts of things that made me feel like I really needed to use the bathroom. Like the ocean, rain, hoses. Finally, Greg got tired and he fell asleep. I thought about trying to sneak past him, but I was worried he was just faking it, and I was going to get zapped. After a while, I fell asleep too, but I woke up around 6 in the morning feeling like I was going to burst. I didn't care about the force field anymore, but I was worried that if I used the bathroom, I might wake up Mr. Heffley, so I peed out the window onto the front lawn. But I should have just used the bathroom anyway, because Mr. Heffley was already up for the day. Getting the paper from the front lawn. Luckily, Mr. Heffley didn't look up in time to see me in the window, and when he got to Greg's room, I was already back in bed. I fell back asleep after a while, and got up when Mrs. Heffley said it was time for breakfast. After we ate, I went to get my knight action figure from Greg's room, but I couldn't find the toy anywhere. Greg said he didn't know what happened to it, but Mrs. Heffley said he had to help me look for it. So the two of us searched Greg's room, but to be honest, he mostly looked in lampshades and wasn't all that helpful. I guess Mrs. Heffley thought Greg was hiding the action figure from me, because she said if he didn't hand it over in 2 minutes, then he was going to be in big trouble. Greg said he needed to use the bathroom, but he'd keep looking for my action figure after he was done. But I noticed he had something in his hand when he went in there. Greg locked the bathroom door, and Mrs. Heffley told him to come out right this instant. But then the toilet flushed, and when Greg opened the door, there wasn't anything in his hand anymore. Mrs. Heffley made Greg give me 3 toys, and this time I picked out ones that weren't broken. My mom and dad came and got me just before lunch, and boy was I glad to see them. And P.S., if you wanted to know the answer to that knock-knock joke, it's Elephants Watch Elevision. The Adventures of Greg and Rowley. I'm pretty much up to date on Greg's life, so today I showed Greg what I wrote so far. I thought he would like it, but he was mad. Greg said this book was supposed to be about him and not about me. I told him it was hard to write about just him, because most of the time we do stuff together. He said I need to go back through the book and take out all the stuff with me in it. I told him that would be dumb because then the book would only be like 1 page long. I said maybe we should change the title to The Adventures of Greg and Rowley, and it could be our biography. Then I said since there's a lot of scary stuff in this book, we could make it into a spooky series where these 2 pals solve mysteries. We could make a lot of money, and we'd both be rich and famous. Greg said that was the stupidest idea he ever heard. He said this book is about his life, and if he wants to, he can change the name of Greg's best friend to Rupert, and then he wouldn't owe me anything. Plus, he said he'd make Rupert really dumb and drooling all the time. Then Greg told me the book smelled funny anyway, and when I brought it up to my nose to sniff it, he closed the book on my face. So I said, "Hey, what was that for?" And Greg said that's what I got for dropping him in the puddle. Then he said he got me back when I least expected it, and I guess he was right about that. But I was pretty mad, and I whapped him with his own biography. Well, I guess Greg wasn't expecting that, because he lost his balance and fell in a big puddle. Anyway, I am up in my room now, and I am hoping Greg's mom calls him home for bedtime soon, because he's standing outside my window holding a big stick. And he already skipped dinner. I'm glad all that stuff happened today, because it gave me a whole new chapter in our biography. I'm sure we'll be pals again tomorrow, and we'll have a bunch of new adventures that I can put in here. And I'll bet, if we go with my idea about the scary stuff, it'll sell 1,000,000 copies. The Spooky Adventures of Greg and Rowley. But if Greg changes my name to Rupert, I just want to say, for the record, that he wet his pants at that first sleepover, too. Okay, now back to this being about me. Well, if Greg's not happy with his biography, then I can go back to using this journal to write about myself. So now I'm officially the main character of this book again. And from now on, this thing is just going to be about me, and my mom, and my dad. And I might mention Ms. Beck one more time if there's enough room. Speaking of my mom and dad, after my last fight with Greg, they came to my room to talk about it. My dad said,
"Rowley, maybe it's time to find some new friends."
But I don't really think I can add any new friends, because Greg takes up so much of my time. I know me and Greg don't always get along, but like Mrs. Heffley said, sometimes friends get on each other's nerves. Well, me and Greg get on each other's nerves a lot, so I guess that just proves that we're best friends.
The End. This is Christopher Gebauer. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Diary of an Awesome Friendly Kid, Rowley Jefferson's Journal, by Jeff Kinney. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold, including Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, Google Play, Apple iTunes, and in public libraries through RB Digital. Thank you for being a recorded books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.